At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
As expected, at least by I think a lot of us, the South Carolina Court of Appeals has granted Alec Murdaugh's motion to suspend his conviction appeal and sent the case back to circuit court to consider allegations of jury tampering by the Culleton County Clerk. This is the first step on a possible path to a second Alec Murdaugh trial or being cleared. I highly doubt that just being cleared or exonerated is going to happen, but we're likely on that path for a new trial. With everything that we know now, with the admission of guilt, with the financial crimes, where do you think this is going to lead? Do you think we are eventually going to see a part two to the Murdaugh trial where he can make his arguments again in maybe a more creative way than he did in the first round?
It's looking that way, isn't it?
Very much.
We're just talking about defense attorneys a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. If you ever find yourself in trouble, get these two. and pray you got a clerk that does something as dumb as she did. You know, she totally teed this up. But here's what's also very interesting to me. Again, I love looking at these behavior patterns.
Yeah.
This from the very beginning of this, when he was put in jail, arrested, you see every time you see him and every time you get a clip of him now, he seems so comfortable and at ease with being in prison.
Yeah.
It's like when you look at him, you just get the sense of he expects to get out. Mm-hmm. Or it's not a big deal being there. It's like you still get that sense because you know how that family ruled that area. Mm-hmm. And I still get that sense of his confidence, and he doesn't come across arrogant. He's either a really good actor or he had his own aha moments with maybe drug rehab, and that's why he confessed to all the stealing money from everyone. We'll see. But it's really interesting looking at his calmness that he's facing life behind bars as if it's not the final act. And so I really think it's not the final act.
What does that tell you about his like mindset, the fact that he is that calm and he does, I mean, even if this trial does happen and if he's somehow exonerated for these murders, he's still likely spending the rest of his life in prison for the financial crimes. Where does that confidence come from or that sense of ease behind bars exist? Is it just kind of the arc of his life where he's always felt that confidence, or is it more down the road of you almost like being in a bad relationship and you know eventually it's going to end and you almost kind of prepare yourself for that impact, and then when it actually happens, you're like, oh, I'm okay. Because did he know it at some point? At least the financial crimes would catch up to him, and he maybe prepared it mentally that I'm going to probably end up in jail at some point.
So I'll give you my conjecture.
Yeah.
Because everything I do is always a pure guess.
Sure.
I actually know someone that knew him back in the days when he was doing real estate down in Beaufort, South Carolina. And he was shocked by what happened. He goes, he was really a funny, nice guy. Mm-hmm. And so here's my conjecture. And that is, he knows a lot of people. And when you know a lot of people and you have a lot of relationships with people, and they might not all have been really bad, narcissistic, take advantage of you, steal your money relationships, there might have been some really good, healthy ones in there. When you have a network of a lot of strong, healthy relationships that penetrate all levels of government, prison systems, law enforcement, judges, lawyers, the whole community, you never feel out of place. You never feel not at home. And so even though he's restricted in movement and the other people in the prison might not be so nice, he knows everyone else. And so in here, it might not be like for you and I, this would be a major change of life because we wouldn't know anyone. We're totally living in fear. I don't know. I mean, every day would be a stress because it's just not my lifestyle. It's just not who I am or where I am or mm-hmm. where my people are. He might be around a lot of people that just know him and like him because from what I've heard, he can be a very likable guy. And when you take that and you're manipulative and you're edging up on psychopathy and you know how to do all these things with people, he could be creating a very comfortable place for himself in there that is, and again, when you live with a lot of hope because you have two great lawyers that, you know, he might just have that confidence because of it.
What does Becky Hill have to be concerned about at this point in time? She obviously is the one that's accused of tampering with the jury. She's even made some interesting revelations in her own book, which is kind of like, why would you say that out loud? Because this is not okay. Where could that go for her? If this is going to continue down the path and he actually does get a new trial, are there going to be consequences for her for essentially, you know, pushing that domino over and getting this all in motion for him?
So legally, I'm not sure because that's out of my bailiwick, mm-hmm. but as a pattern of life, that's defining.
Yeah,
I mean, she just ruined her personal brand, whether she's acquitted of it or not, or, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, her personal brand professionally, it's in a toilet right now, and it'll take a long time to come out of that. So that's where that is. It, she, from perception and that's perception rules everything. When you look like you're taking advantage of the public trust for personal gain, that just destroys personal brand. And that's what she did.
Without a doubt. The hearing that they're seeking, they're trying to get an evidentiary hearing going on here to really focus on the serious allegations pertaining to the improper jury communications by the clerk of court. What do you think they're going to need to prove in that hearing to continue this down the road? Is this a very easy one, you know, walk in, here's what we got. Yeah, looks like it's pretty accurate. Let's keep it going. Is there a very high bar for the defense of Alec Murdaugh to reach to get him back into court?
I'm not sure because, again, it's not in my area, but yeah. I would think that they got it because the defense wouldn't have said, hey, let's stop the appeal process because of this. So I think they're really confident what they got is going to suffice to get the retrial because you're not hearing anything from anyone else. I see two really confident lawyers and some guy sitting in jail looking like he's going to be out. I mean, it's just, isn't that kind of crazy? Look what he's convicted of. And you got two lawyers and the convict full of confidence that, oh yeah, we're going to get a new trial. And they're acting as if he's going to be like let off. I mean, it just blows your mind.
Do they know something we don't know? That's the only thing that comes to mind when you see that sort of behavior. Is there something else that's going to come up that was not brought up in the first trial? Are we going to see something new on things that we've speculated on where maybe this was a hit? Maybe this was it's you or them, or, I mean, who knows? I mean, there's so many different roads that we can go down. Are they going to go down one of those roads? I'm surprised they didn't attempt that in the first trial because the defense was fairly weak on what they were trying to say he was up to that night, especially when he comes out and he lied about it to begin with. Are we going to hear another version of a story, or does he even have the credibility to bring in another story at this point, even if it is real?
I think we might have two things at work here is, one, in order to get him off, they have to find a killer. And I mean, because someone killed, you know, Maggie and his son. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a killer. And so we haven't heard any insinuation that they think they have. Mm-hmm. And so it's still going to be pointed at him. But the other thing that I think that starts getting wrapped up in here that gets muddled for them is a lot of groupthink.
Yeah.
And if you're surrounding yourself, as you know, we say a few times, you know, Robert Greene's book, The Laws of Human Nature, we love surrounding ourselves with our own personal confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. And we're lying to ourselves. And if we're surrounded by people that are validating our own self-deceptions, that could be going on as well. Hard to imagine as lawyers are doing that. But again, and you've done this too. You've interviewed people that have in their own mind, they have a great, huge following. Mm-hmm. And they think that they're the greatest thing that walks the planet. And they think they have these millions of followers, and they might. But you know what? Millions of followers isn't everyone. And so if you have a lot of people saying, especially in this part, like we've talked about before in the Carolinas, that know you, they know your family, and they think, oh, and you might have a group of people saying, oh, no, it's not him. It's got to be someone else. Maybe they're believing their own lies. Who knows?
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.